ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। First 19 chapters of 10th canto are completed. So today we will discuss the 20th chapter of 10th canto. So this is a very special chapter. Every year this chapter comes during monsoon. So this is a description of the rainy season in Vrindavan. And we are also living in Vrindavan, Govardhan Eco Village. And here also we are seeing monsoon in Vrindavan. So we can relate to many of the analogies that Sukadeva Goswami is going to present in this chapter. So far we have seen so many demon killing pastimes of Krishna in the first 19 chapters. It began from 6th chapter when Krishna killed Putana, and the 19th chapter when Balaramji killed Pralambasura. So 20th chapter is monsoon in Vrindavan. It gives a very sweet description of this beautiful season, how it gave joy to Vrindavan, joy to Krishna. So every bit of Vrindavan is meant to give pleasure to Krishna. Whether it be gopas or gopis or cows or monkeys or peacocks or any other birds or even the seasons of Vrindavan. Fruits, rivers, trees, flowers, so all of them are meant to give pleasure to Krishna. And here is a description of how the season of monsoon is giving pleasure to Krishna. And there are so many analogies that Srila Sukadeva Goswami gives from based on the features of Vrindavan, monsoon in Vrindavan. So that also makes us contemplate very nicely in the guidelines given by Sukadeva Goswami, following in his footsteps. So when we are living in the midst of nature, we have a great opulence to relate that nature with our regular patterns of lifestyle, right? So many experiences of one's life can be connected with the features of the nature when we are living in the midst. So several times in Srimad Bhagavatam you can see that the analogies that are used to give the teachings of life are very much connected with the nature. Sun, moon, day, night, seasons, or trees, birds, then frogs, right? All these rivers and the current of waves, mountains. So all these are used to teach us certain principles and other things that we need to follow in one's life, right? That's how Bhagavatam is presenting the philosophy with simple digestible analogies. The highest principle of surrender to Guru is compared to a river meeting an ocean in the 4th canto, if you remember. So our desires for sense gratification will never stop. They are like ripples of river. So on a river there are so many ripples, they will never stop. Similarly, one's desires for sense gratification in this material world also will not stop. So what is the best way to stop those ripples, stop those sense gratificatory desires? When we align our desires with the desires of a spiritual master, of a spiritually advanced personality who only desires to render service to Krishna. So by assisting in his desires to render service to Krishna, our insignificant desires for sense gratification will go away. So his desires, a guru's desires, a pure devotee's desires are compared to oceanic tides, and our desires are compared to just ripples on a river. So when river meets the ocean, the ripples on the river will no longer become significant. The oceanic tides will take over. So it's a simple natural phenomena, rivers meeting ocean. From that, a beautiful example is derived by Prabhupada in the fourth canto, 22nd chapter. So it's a very life-transforming principle. So any practitioner of any transcendental path, especially bhakti yoga, so he definitely has this experience of his external material desires disturbing him in his practice of devotional service. Then he can just remember this simple analogy and then get this life-transforming lesson that, oh, for me, if I don't have to get disturbed from my sense gratificatory desires, all I need to do is align my desires with the desires of spiritual master, more spiritually advanced person, and conduct my life under his guidance. So it's a very grave lesson given through a simple analogy. So like that, Bhagavatam in various cantos, in various chapters, presents life secrets through simple analogies, which are majorly based on natural phenomena. So Prabhupada writes that sun and sun rays, right? So Lord and his energies are connected with each other, just as sun and sun rays are connected with each other. Just like fire emanates heat and light, they are the energies. Similarly, Lord also has so many energies, so inseparable. So the non-difference between the Lord and his energies is conveyed through the simple analogies of fire, heat, light and sun rays, right? So like that, through simple analogies, Bhagavatam is presenting us great lessons. So this is a very interesting chapter where, like, it's a series of analogies only. Entire chapter is a series of analogies. So like, generally you don't find this kind of chapters even within Bhagavatam also, even in other places also probably, that entire chapter is a series of analogies and each analogy is giving so many wonderful lessons. So let's meditate on these analogies. So this morning in the first session, 10 to 1 or 1:15, something like that, we will discuss the analogies spoken by Sukadeva Goswami. And in the afternoon, so you all can go with your cameras, mobile phones. You all have camera mobiles, right? So smartphones, iPhones, iPads, and other gadgets which you have been using in different ways. So today you use it in a very more natural way. So you try to capture the features of monsoon in our Vrindavan. Right, just it's 5 minutes walk, you know, right? All the major temples of Vrindavan are present here. There are trees, there are, maybe you can find some water flows also. There is mountain and there is river Yamuna. So everything is there, and entire GV is also there. What? Why only to speak of that Vrindavan? So entire GV is there. You can see the features of monsoon here. Whatever Sukadeva Goswami is describing, you can observe it live with your eyes. Mount Kohos is there, you can see waterfalls coming from it. So you can try to capture the shots that are very much described by Sukadeva Goswami in this chapter, and see and try to appreciate the lessons that he is giving. And along with that, you can also capture more shots which may not be described here, and then try to contemplate on what you are seeing based on the teachings given by Sukadeva Goswami and Prabhupada, right? So we need to contemplate in line with the teachings of acharyas. Otherwise our contemplation is not devotional contemplation, it is mental speculation. So one should intelligently analyze things in life and whatever he is seeing around him, but he should have a basis, he should have a reference point, he should be trained, he should be equipped with some knowledge to be able to intellectually analyze things in a proper way. Not that he just speculates, because so many people are thoughtful. Every thoughtful person cannot become an acharya, getting right? Who is an acharya? He is definitely thoughtful, but his thoughts are in line with the previous acharyas. Such a person is called a more seriously thoughtful person than other people who may be speculating, right? So intelligently one can think and then try to understand things. Now we will see what Sukadeva Goswami describes in the 20th chapter of 10th canto. First chapter, first verse. Sri Shuka Uvacha Tayostadadbhutam Karma Davagner Mokshamatmanaha Gopahastribhyah Samachakyuh
Gopahastribhyah
Pralambavadhamevacha.
Sukadeva Goswami said, to the ladies of Vrindavan, the cowherd boys then related in full detail Krishna's and Balaram's wonderful activities of delivering them from the forest fire and killing the demon Pralamba.
So, in the 19th chapter we have described the killing of Pralambasur, and that incident was described by all the gopas to their mothers and other residents of Vrindavan. So Sukadeva Goswami is just mentioning that in the beginning of this chapter. So in all the pastimes of Vrindavan, Krishna is the main hero, and Balaramji is accompanying Krishna in executing those pastimes. So Balaramji is always in the background, and he is supporting Krishna in performing various leelas. So sometimes he may also take lead in killing, say, Pralambasur, Dhenukasur, like that. But generally he is only assisting Krishna. Krishna is the main hero. So in this particular episode, Balaramji killed Pralambasur. Second, Gopavardhascha Gopyascha Tadupa Karanya Vismitaha Menire Deva Pravarau Krishna Ramau Vrajam Gatau. Gopavardhascha Gopyascha Tadupa Karanya Vismitaha. All the gopas and gopis heard these young boys describing the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram. And Vismitaha, they were very astonished and surprised to see, to hear that Krishna and Balaram are performing such wonderful pastimes. Menire Deva Pravarau Krishna Ramau Vrajam Gatau. So all they could think is, oh, these boys must be very special. Probably they are demigods who descended in Vrindavan. That's all they could think. So they could not think that Krishna and Balaram are directly the supreme personalities of Godhead. They were only thinking that they must be some powerful demigods. And if they are demigods, we also must be demigods, because we are their friends, we are their relatives. That is their conclusion generally. So they can never assign godhood to Krishna or Balaram out of their affection. When the love becomes very prominent, all these other conceptions related to majesty go into the background. That's what is happening with all the Vrajavasis. So now Sukadeva Goswami kind of concluded that episode. Now he starts to describe the features of monsoon. So from here onwards, Sukadeva Goswami is going into deeper descriptions of Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. So here he describes monsoon and then autumn. Then he describes how Krishna stole the garments of gopis in the next chapter. So 21st chapter is Venugita, how Krishna's flute attracted all the gopis, how gopis were meditating on Krishna's pastimes in the forest. So after that, he describes how Krishna stole the garments of gopis. Then Govardhan episode comes, and later the Rasapanchadhyaya will begin. So now we will discuss the features of monsoon. Tataha pravartata pravrit sarva sattva samudbhava vidyotamana paridhir visphurjitanabhastala. then this monsoon season began. So monsoon is said to be giving life and sustenance to all the living beings. Tataha pravartata pravrut sarva sattva samudbhava. So monsoon means there is a profuse downpour of rain. When there is rain, there is sustenance for plants also, animals also, human beings also. People can grow crops, and there are various other features of monsoon. So that is considered life sustaining. So how does it begin? Sky began to rumble with thunder, and lightning flashed on the horizon. So this is how monsoon began in Vrindavan. Fourth verse. Sandranilambudhair vyoma savidyut stanyinatmihim aspushta jyotir achhannam brahmeva saganam babhau. So sandra neelambudair vyoma. So this vyoma means sky. It is filled with neela ambudhi. Neela ambudhi is bluish clouds. Sandra neelambudhir, that means very dense, dark blue clouds, right? It's not like light sky blue. Generally, sky is blue only, right? Generally, but it is like very dark, dense. You can see on the image, right? Very dark blue. So, savidyut stanayitnubihi. So, savidyut means there is lightning also and there is thunder also, right? So, then asprishta jyotir achannam. So in the background of dark monsoon clouds, in the foreground, what is there? This lightning is there, right? It's very shining. So when you put some lighter object in a darker background, the glow of lighter object will come up, right? So those who are doing some decoration will know, right? You may put some dark curtains there, and then say dark blue color curtains, and then white mogra ladies. That's good. You put a white curtain and put white mogra garlands, right, hanging. You can't see anything only, right? So the background gives more effect to the lightning. So asprishta jyotir achannam. So this lightning, this illumination is covered. In the same way, the sky and its natural illumination were covered because of these dense clouds. How they are covered? A beautiful analogy is given. Brahmeva sagunam babhau. Here Brahma refers to the soul. The spirit soul is covered by the three modes: goodness, passion and ignorance. How? The analogy is given. Just like sky is covered by the lightning, which is compared to goodness, because it is very bright, and thunder, which is compared to passion, because it creates some kind of palpitations in the heart, right, when there is a huge thunder. Then dense blue clouds, they are compared to ignorance. So just like sky is covered by lightning, thunder and dense blue clouds, soul is also covered by goodness, passion and ignorance in this material world, right? So this is the description of the first description of Vrindavan. Next, fifth verse. Ashtavumasan nipitam yad bhumyas chodamayam vasu swagobhir moktumarebhe parjanyaha kala agate. So ashtavumasan nipitam yad bhumyas chodamayam vasu. For 8 full months, sun, this bright sun, just drank up the water from the earth's surface. On the surface of earth, there are so many lakes and rivers and other water bodies. So sun just keeps on evaporating all that water for 8 months, during winter and during summer. So swagobhir moktumarebhi parjanyaha kala agate. Now in the remaining 4 months of monsoon, sun is giving up all that water. Whatever he has taken in the 8 months, he is giving it back right? When the right time comes, right time of monsoon comes, there are clouds. So, sun is giving up that water. So, this is compared to a king's taking care of his citizens. So, a king or the government would take taxes from the citizens, and when the right time comes, they will release those taxes for public welfare work, for other charitable activities, right? So they will, a king is supposed to collect taxes from the citizens and engage those taxes for the welfare of the citizens only when the right time comes. So he keeps on accumulating taxes, the king, the treasure house is full. And whenever there is a need, for example, there is a drought or some other famine, so citizens are in need of money, immediately he will engage that money in taking care of the citizens. So sun is compared to king, and the rains are compared to public welfare work. So that is the comparison that Sukadeva Goswami gives. And also, this water is considered the wealth of earth. So king is taking taxes from the citizens, that means he is taking their wealth, a portion of their wealth. So water is considered the wealth of earth, and sun is extracting that water from the earth, right? So that is like king's collecting taxes. Then they start raining, then he then sun starts creating rain at proper times. So taxes are to be utilized for public welfare work. So some of these images are clicked in GV only. So this is clicked by our Anupanga Ramguru behind our Vrindavan Vihari temple. And many other images are also collected from various sources by Madhumadhav Prabhu, right? So this is not just by me, there are others also involved in it. So clouds are flashing with lightning. We'll go to the sixth verse. Tadidvanto mahamegha chandasvasana vepitaha preenanam jeevanam hyasya mumochuhu karuna iva. Tadidvanto mahamegha. So these clouds are also accompanied by thunder, right? Clouds are flashing with lightning. So then these clouds were shaken and swept away by fierce winds. So cloud will not stay at one place. Because of wind, it keeps on moving. So that is like Bhishma Dev says, Vayo riva ghanavali. You remember that verse in the first canto, 9th chapter. Huh? Kunti Maharani, Bhishma. Sarvam kalakritam manye bhavatam cha yadapriyam sapalo yadvashe loko vayo riva ghanavali. So vayo riva ghanavali, he means just like clouds are helplessly moved by fierce winds, the influence of time factor will not allow any person to just stay in his comfort zone. They have to keep on changing their situations. So here clouds are moved by these fierce winds. So now these clouds are flashing with lightning. So that is compared to merciful people or like a rich man. And clouds were shaken and swept by fierce winds and water comes out. That's like rich people giving their wealth to poor people, right? So just like a cloud, whatever water it holds, it just pours on. It's like a cloud is giving up its complete wealth for the happiness of the society. When the cloud pours all rain, whatever it contains, that goes on an agriculture field. In the recently you have planted rice also in GEV fields. So when that water comes, all the fields will grow. Then grains will come up. And for the next 1 year, people will eat those grains and they will sustain. So all this happened because of whom? Cloud gave rain. So that means cloud is completely giving up whatever it has for the wealth, for the happiness of the society. So similarly, some wealthy people also sometimes use their money to help others. So they are compared to clouds who very generously utilize their wealth and whatever they have possessed for the welfare of others. So tapyante lokatapena sadhavaha prayaso janaha paramaradhanam taddhi purushasya akhilatmanaha. So great philanthropic souls, right, great people, they utilize whatever they have for the service of others. Tapyante lokatapena, they undergo lot of tapa, they undergo lot of hard work and austerity for the welfare of others. So this comes in the 8th canto. So Shiva drank poison to protect all the demigods and demons from this halahal. So that is considered the highest form of worship. So one example we can learn is from clouds. So clouds give that similar lesson, that one has to utilize whatever he has in one's possession for other people's benefit. So in this context, in the purport, Prabhupada says that a king, he gives the example of Dasaratha Maharaj. So Dasaratha Maharaj fought with the enemies. So a king, when he fights with the enemies, it is like farmer uprooting weeds. So a farmer would plant, and then there are weeds that grow, which are unwanted plants in the field. So farmer would uproot the weeds. Similarly, when a king fights, it is not for his sense gratification. It is not just to show off his military power. It is to kill some opponents, kill some unscrupulous people. So that is mentioned. So when he fights, he uproots weeds. But when he distributes charity, it is like for the welfare of people. So king does both things. So earlier, wealthy men or kings are compared to clouds that give charity to citizens. Not only that, whenever there is a need, kings also would punish people. Punish, say, robbers or thieves in their kingdom, or enemies who are disturbing the peace of the citizens. So that is like uprooting weeds. So these two examples that Prabhupada gives here. So this king's charity is considered the rain of the clouds. So, 7th verse. Tapaha krisha deva meedha asid varshiyasi mahi yathaiva kamya tapasaha tanuhu samprapya tatphalam. So, tapaha krisha deva meedha. So, in the 7th verse, Sukadeva Goswami describes that before monsoon began, because of the summer heat, earth became emaciated. It's like doing austerities for a material purpose. That point is also mentioned here. So when someone does austerities for whatever ambitions that he has, so he will be emaciated. See, sometimes yogis' bodies would be very thin, they are like this. So definitely they are aspiring for something very beneficial for themselves, and then they are taking up some voluntary inconveniences. So that is compared to Mother Earth's getting dried up for during the monsoon, during the summer season. So austerities for material purpose. Now the fruit of austerities Mother Earth receives, right? What is the fruit of her austerity during the summer season? So sun creates clouds and showers rain, and Mother Earth, is entire surface of Mother Earth is covered with green grass. Mother Earth will grow in green, glow in green, shining green. So all small sprouts will come. She looks very fresh and clean. So because of summer, there is no rain, and you can't keep on pouring water to clean all the places, right? So things will look clean. Mountain will not look very clean during summer. All dried leaves, it looks brown. Now, because of monsoon, you can just turn back and see how Kohos is filled with a lot of greenery and waterfalls. It looks clean. So nobody will do a maha cleaning on a mountain, right? So only rain has to do. So rain will do the maha cleaning. So earth is receiving the fruit of austerities. It was fully nourished with green vegetation. It appeared very healthy and strong. So that is the analogy in the 7th verse. So this is compared to a person getting emaciated with austerities undergone for material purposes. Because in Bhakti Yoga also there is austerity. Prabhupada writes quite a few times that the difficulties undergone by a devotee in his practice of bhakti yoga are often compensated by the happiness that he derives in doing those services. So there is some austerity, getting up so early in the morning, chanting 16 rounds, trying to be awake in the japa, and there are so many austerities. But all these are compensated by the bliss that is derived, by the satisfaction that is derived by doing all these core Krishna conscious activities. However, in other yogas, so it may or may not be the case. Right, klesho dhikatarastesham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta hi gatir dukham dehavad bhiravapyate. Klesha adhikatarastesham. There is a very intense difficulty that they undergo, but still the happiness that they derive is not very substantial. But even during the practice also, bhakti yoga gives a lot of happiness. So that is promised by our scriptures. 8th verse. Nishamukheshu khadyotah tamasa bhanti nagrahah yatha papena pashanda nahi vedah kalau yuge. Nishamukheshu khadyotah. There is khadyota. You know what is khadyota? Glowworm. So glowworm means insect will fly, there is light coming from that insect. You see, many times, sometimes when we are chanting japa in Vrindavan temple hall also, sometimes, what is this? Green light coming out from the body of it, right? As if some 1 watt bulb or 0 watt bulb is kept inside the body. So nisha mukheshu khadyotaha tamasa bhanti nagrahaha. So these glowworms will start glowing only during the night, because during the sunlight, during the daytime when there is sunlight, the glow of a glowworm is of no use. It has to be shining only in darkness. And even in the night time also, when there are stars and moon, glowworms cannot exhibit their light properly. But in monsoon, because the sky is overcast with clouds, even stars are also not properly seen. Even the moon is also not properly seen. Only dense dark clouds are seen. So in that background of pitch darkness, glowworms will shine. So that's what is mentioned in this verse, 8th verse. So this is compared to the pseudo yogis or non-devotional practices shining in Kali Yuga, right? So the evening darkness of monsoon is compared to the flourishing of unscrupulous so-called transcendentalists in Kali Yuga. Yatha papena pashanda nahi vedaha kalau yuge. So papena pashanda nahi vedaha kalau yuge. So this is the evening darkness is compared to Kali Yuga. So the atheistic doctrines overshadow the knowledge of Vedas. The real knowledge of Vedas is not popular, but there are so many other philosophies, concocted philosophies that become more prominent in Kali Yuga. That is the feature of Kali Yuga, right? So that is like glowworm becoming more prominent than stars and moon in the sky. Which is more powerful? Star is powerful or glowworm is powerful? But in this night, glowworm is getting more glories. Glowworm gets more glories, more claps, more fans, right? So more hits, more viewership. So glowworms get more, right? Some bona fide content will not have much hits, many hits. So that's what is mentioned in the 8th verse. However, sometimes clouds will go away, right? Even in monsoon also, during the night, sometimes clouds take a low profile, then moon becomes prominent and stars become prominent. Similarly, even during Kali Yuga also, sometimes devotees flourish. Lord Chaitanya's movement will flourish. Vaishnavism will flourish. Right? And people who are devotees of, genuine devotees of the Supreme Lord, God, they will flourish. So atheistic mentalities will continue to exist, but devotees who believe in God, they become also prominent, at least temporarily sometimes, even in Kali Yuga. So that is like moon and stars manifesting their light even in monsoon. So very simple analogy, right? So that is Sankirtan movement, Lord Chaitanya's movement. Ninth verse. Shrutva parjanya ninadam mandukaha sasrujurgiraham tushnim shayanaha pragyadvad brahmana niyamatyaye. Shrutva parjanya ninadam. Shrutva, hearing. What? Parjanya ninadam. When there is a thunder in the sky, when there is a sound made by this heavy rain, all the frogs get excited. Manduka hasasrujirgiraha. Manduka become very happy. They start making sound, right? So in response to the nature's sound of thunder and rain and clouds, so frog starts croaking, right? Tushnim shayanaha pragyadvat brahmana niyamatyaye. So this is compared to, so far frogs were maintaining a low profile, right? So now when the rain comes, frogs become very ecstatic and they are more free to express themselves, right? So there is an emotion and there is an expression. Oftentimes there is a gap between emotion and expression. You are experiencing some emotion, but the circumstances will not allow you to express it. It could be your modesty, or it could be trying to be politically correct, or being fitting into the situation, or whatever may be the reason, one may not be able to express one's emotion properly in certain circumstances. But when there are favorable circumstances, one can express oneself completely. For example, somebody is very naughty and very expressive and more outspoken, right? So for him to sit in a very sober atmosphere, all gentlemanly people, very formal dealings, so he becomes very suffocated, right? Or somebody who is very introvert kind of person, who is not very much used to express himself in public, you ask him to come on the stage and then do some drama. That too you give him a comedy role, not a serious role. Right, he gets suffocated there. When will I get off the stage? That's what he will think, right? So the emotion may not be expressed several times when the circumstances are not favorable. So now frogs got a more favorable situation. They are able to express themselves completely. They're very happy. So that is compared to Brahmanas reciting the Vedic mantras. When Guru calls, just like rain called and frogs started expressing their joy. Similarly, when Guru calls, all the Brahmana students would come and then start reciting slokas. Start reciting Vedic mantras. So that is the comparison given. 10th verse. Asan utpatha gaminya kshudranadyo nu shushyatihi pumso yathava svantrasya deha dravina sampadaha. So during the summer, all these streams, they become dry. Small canals and little water bodies, they become very dry. But when there is profuse quantity of rain, then they start swelling up. So in the beginning of this year's monsoon, last month, towards the end of June, there was heavy rain for 10 hours during the night. A lot of thunder, we couldn't sleep also, if you remember that day. So our Goshala road, half of the road was washed off, right? The inside bigger rubble, stones are seen. So like that, there was a lot of an impact in our Vrindavan during the monsoon. Right, so even the small water bodies also start overflowing. What to speak of small water bodies? When there was heavy rain, even our 1 crore liter pond also was overflowing. Right, so dry streams began to swell and strayed from their courses. And small rivulets and ponds overflow in monsoon, but become dry again in the dry season. So this is like, one hankers for an ocean of happiness, but one obtains only a drop of it. So these dry streams, they were dry for 8 months. But when rain came, lot of rain came and they couldn't contain. They are just overflowing. And after some time, just as soon as monsoon ends, autumn begins, and they are again nothing. They become zero or almost zero. So in this material world, there is a lot of hankering for happiness, but hardly one can obtain a drop of happiness. So that is mentioned in this beautiful verse. So here, everyone is sleeping in the darkness of Kali Yuga, but only by the calling of a great Acharya, everyone takes to Vedic study. That was related to the previous one. And in this context, Prabhupada writes, in our materialistic way of life, we hanker after an ocean of happiness, but in the form of society, friends and mundane love, we get no more than a drop of water, insignificant happiness. Thus, one is not very much satisfied in life. Harita Haribhir Saspair Indra Gopaischa Lohita Uchilindra Kritachaya Ranam Shrir Ivabhur Abhut. So Harita Haribhir Saspair. So in monsoon, every here and there you will find grass growing, fresh green grass, very clean, it's not dusty grass. Water is continuously washing it, they look very shining. So new grown grass is making the earth emerald green. Harita haribhir saspair. So earth surface is becoming emerald green, so beautiful. And Indra Gopaischa Lohita, and in that green background, sometimes you see small Indragopa insects. They have a reddish hue on their bodies. So in the green background, here and there, you will find some red. Right? So that is adding to the flavor. Right? So that is mentioned. Next. Also, Uchilindra Krita Chhaya. And also, along with this green background and red interspersing of Indragopa, you also sometimes find mushrooms, white mushrooms coming up. And there is an umbrella, and under the chhatri sometimes you find some frogs also. Right? So white, red, green, so that looks, it looks as if so far only brown color was there. Right? Earth was so dry because of summer, suddenly grasses came up and mushrooms came up and Indragopa insects came up, and people are, and all the other living entities are feeling so much happiness. So it's like a person who has become suddenly rich. So far he was immersed in poverty, he doesn't know how to take his next meal. Suddenly he has back-to-back feasts for continuously 10 days, 1 month. Right? So far he was starving. Sometimes it could happen to sick people also. So Ayurvedic doctor gives some really strict diet. For 1 month he is on one meal or half meal a day, all items are cut, suddenly ban lifted, right? So no more medicines for you, you are okay. Immediately he gets into a series of feasts. Again he may have to revisit the doctor, but he gets into a series of feasts, it's like that. So person who has suddenly become very rich, so mushroom added colors and circles of shade. So this is resembling a royal parade displaying the military strength of a king. So king is very royally going along with his military and soldiers and ministers, and people are doing pushabhishek on him also. So it resembled like that. Suddenly earth got this opulence of becoming very green. Romotsavo mamayadanghri vitankitaya. You remember in the first canto, Mother Earth says that all my hairs are standing on end. That is, all the plants and grasses standing on end on the surface of earth. 12th verse. Kshetrani shasya sampadbhihi Karshakanam mudam daduhu Maninam anutapam vai Daivadhinam ajanatam. So kshetrani shasya sampadbhihi, the sampada, the wealth of kshetra, all these agricultural fields is the greenery, is the grains that they grow, that grow in the fields, right? So all these fields give a lot of joy to the farmers, agriculture department, organic farming department. So around 10 of you were planting rice a couple of weeks back. So they are also doing the same thing, right? So that fields give joy to the farmers. But who is this farmer? This farmer is the person who is feeding everybody. Not everyone does farming. Only farmers do farming. And they are a certain percentage. They are not 100%. 100% of the population do not do farming. Only certain percentage would do farming. But based on their farming, the remaining population, remaining percent of the population would survive. But oftentimes, the respect that a farmer gets is that he is an uneducated layman. He's simple. So someone who is too simple or not very intelligent is considered, "Are, ye to kheti wala hai. He doesn't know anything," like that. But unless he grows food, how can others people survive? So Prabhupada raises that point in the purport, right? So this rain became a cause of joy for the farmer, but some wealthy people who can just throw some cash and get some grains without going to the agricultural fields and then sowing the seeds and planting rice without undergoing any of that austerity and anxiety, just by throwing some money, they get grains, they get food in their plate. So they say that stop this rain. We don't want this rain. We hate monsoon. Why they hate monsoon? Because when they go outside in just to walk to their office or whatever, the slippers do some, what to say, sound or whatever, and their pants will be, their dresses will be dirty, right? So they can't handle that. My dress is looking dirty, so many spots of mud are seen on my dress. So what will people think about me? They just think on all these external considerations, right? Or it's very difficult for us to go and watch a movie because it's raining so heavily, right? We may not get an auto. So yeah, these are all practical problems in the city. But this rain gives a lot of joy to the farmer in the village, because his ecstasy is to grow grains for the entire humanity. So wealthy people will say, "I don't like this rain anymore," right? They just get very really frustrated and they blame the nature or what's happening here. Monsoon itna jaldi kyun aa gaya? Like that they may say. But farmers become very ecstatic to fill their fields with rice plantation and other types of plantation, and they grow vegetables for the entire humanity. Now, 13th verse. That's why one should be able to appreciate the hard work that all sections of people are undergoing. So as long as one is in one's own comfort zone, he cannot really value and appreciate what the other person is undergoing. So 13th verse. Jalasthalaukasa sarve navavari nishevayam अभिभ्रन् रुचिरं रूपं यथा हरिणि सेवया. Someone read the translation.
As all creatures of the land and water took advantage of the newly fallen rainwater, their forms became attractive and pleasing. Just as a devotee becomes beautiful by engaging in the service of the Supreme Lord.
So jalasthaloka sahasarve navavari nishevaya. So all the creatures on the land, whether they are big or small, and all the creatures inside the waters also, they are becoming very joyful. So all the cows and calves, these are all jivi images only. The crab is jivi crab. Don't ask me where it is now. So this must be somewhere here only in our goshala, this cow. So this is our Yamuna. So all the creatures are becoming very joyful, just like the devotees become very joyful. right, upon performing devotional service. They become beautiful by engaging in Lord's service. The beauty of the humanity is their engagement in devotional service. So it's not the external skin color or the proportions of one's body. That is not the real beauty. The real beauty is to be engaged in one's own prescribed or constitutional activity. Right? That is the real beauty. So devotees become beautiful by engaging in Lord's service. So Prabhupada writes, the transformation in dirty looking students after practicing Krishna consciousness is very remarkable. So before coming in touch with the process of devotional service, process of dedicating one's efforts and one's thoughts and one's actions and one's words to the God, before that they were not so beautiful, but after adopting to this whole process, they become more beautiful, right? So like that, forms of all creatures of land, water become attractive and pleasing. So devotees become very beautiful by engaging in Supreme Lord service, right? Their health and luster will increase. Next, 14th verse. Saridbhihi sangatah sindhuho chukshobha swasanor miman apakva yoginas chittam kamaktam gunayugyatha. So saridbhir sangatah sindhuho. So this is another beautiful analogy, that when rivers join the ocean, when they meet the ocean, there is a lot of agitation. Waves are blown by the wind. So now one water body is coming and meeting another water body. A smaller water body, flowing water body, is coming and meeting an ocean, a bigger, huge water body. So that at the junction, there is a lot of agitation, right, several times. So that is compared to the agitation created in the mind of an immature yogi. Immature practitioner of any transcendental path would not be peaceful in his practice. He is constantly disturbed by waves of distraction. So apakva yoginas chittam. So this agitation is compared to the chitta, or the consciousness of apakva yogi, mind of an immature yogi. It is constantly agitated with sense gratification. So I think I began the presentation by mentioning a similar analogy. So when the river meets the ocean, there is some agitation there. But from another perspective, the agitation of the ripples of the river will stop, and when the river merges with the ocean, then it becomes a part of the ocean. Right? That waters which are coming into the ocean, they become part of the ocean. So everyone should be trained to change one's course of action or course of one's life towards God, towards Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarvaga mamnaya maharnavaya namopavargaya parayanaya. You remember, where is this verse? Gajendra's prayers, 8.3. So namo namaste akhila karanaya nishkaranaya adbhutakaranaya sarvagama amnaya maharnavaya namopavargaya parayanaya. Sarva agama amnaya. So all the paths, transcendental paths described in the scriptures, are like rivers. Ultimately, where do the rivers go? To the ocean. Similarly, all the transcendental paths are supposed to take the practitioner towards the ocean of Krishna. Maharanavaya, he is the greatest ocean, who is the destination of all these transcendental paths, right? So we are guiding a practitioner on the spiritual progress, right? So when one's practice is immature, when one's understanding and realization are immature, then one is constantly agitated with sense gratification. Right, so this meeting point that creates agitation is compared to the agitation of the mind of an immature practitioner. There is no clarity of vision. So in the first canto we discussed, when we are discussing the definition of pure devotional service, Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radhokshaje ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. So when the motivation behind one's devotional activities is not proper, and when there is no consistency in one's practice of devotional service, that will create a big obstacle. So then the mind is agitated only. The peace of mind one cannot attain if there is agitation. And that agitation is coming from all these interruptions and inconsistencies and personal desires and selfish motivations. Right? So one, it is not possible to overcome all those overnight, but one should have gradually progress and endeavor to come to the standard like that. So 15th verse. Girayo varsha dharabhir hanyamana navivyathu abhibhuyamana vyasanair yathadhokshajate chetasaham. So in contrast to the previous analogy that we described, what was the previous analogy? The agitation of an immature practitioner is compared to the agitation created when rivers meet the ocean. Now another beautiful analogy. Girayo varsha dharabhir hanyamana na vivyatahu. So when lot of rain is pouring down on the mountain, on such a huge majestic mountain, the mountain is not disturbed at all. Now Kohos, this is an image, Kohos mountain only. So lot of rain came on it, only that it is feeling that, oh, nice shower is coming on me, I am getting cleaned nicely, maha cleaning is happening, that's all. But it is not agitated, it doesn't feel shy, right? It just majestically takes up all the rain upon itself. So mountains are undisturbed by repeated striking of rain bearing clouds, whether it is cloud or rain or thunder. So mountains are quite stable generally. Similarly, in the midst of various calamities, devotee always remains peaceful. He doesn't experience the misery there. Bhagavatam begins like that. What does it say? Tapatrayon molanam. So how did we explain about this tapatrayon molanam? How can this one book uproot your threefold miseries? Because Bhagavatam will equip your consciousness with the maturity to perceive material misery as mercy of Krishna. The real maturity is to perceive the most miserable misfortune in the material existence as the mercy of Krishna. If you can see mercy in the context of misery, that is maturity. Oh, it has been orchestrated by Krishna. It has been arranged by Krishna. This is what Krishna wants me to undergo. So let me accept it without any complaint. Right? So it's like that. So devotees remain peaceful even in the midst of dangers. So many dangers. They remain peaceful. That is like mountain. Steady. So devotees remain peaceful even in danger. So mountains are undisturbed by repeated striking of rain-bearing clouds. However, trees were standing erect. Right? Sometimes they may fall if there is huge rain, but mountains will not fall. So mountain is standing like it will fall like that. Generally not so. So another feature of this monsoon is, apart from mountain being stable, right, not moving from its position when there is rain, mountain also is cleansed of dirt and becomes very beautiful and clean and resplendent and shining. Right, so the rocks on the mountains, they become very dusty during summer because of winds or other things. But when there is rain, they are very clean. They are constantly exposed to this downpour of rain. They become very clean. So they shine. So mountains are cleansed of dirt and become resplendent and beautiful. Similarly, when there is misery, when there is calamity, when there is difficulty in a devotee's life, so he would not be disturbed. He will become more and more beautiful. So every calamity that is coming upon a devotee, in the life of a devotee, would increase his maturity, will add to his experience, would equip him with the consciousness of perceiving Krishna's hand in such circumstances. Right? So one's ability to tolerate provoking situations would day by day increase in proportion to his practice of devotional service, in proportion to the sincerity of his practice of devotional service. So dangers cleanse devotee's heart of the dust of attachment to material world. What is the real dust? The real dust is attachment to material world. But when calamities are coming, the devotee becomes more and more realized of the real situation in this material world. So this material world is filled with miseries, but I am not understanding it. A conditioned soul does not understand it properly. In spite of being informed hundreds of times and thousands of times, still a conditioned soul in this material world cannot give up the thought that I have to go somewhere else, leaving this material existence. I have to endeavor to go to spiritual world. That thought may not enter generally in a conditioned soul's heart. But by the mercy of devotees, when one comes in contact with the process of devotional service on a transcendental spiritual path, then he will be equipped with knowledge. So with that knowledge, if he is able to perceive the situations in this life, then every calamity that is coming upon him would increase his maturity, would take him one step forward towards Krishna. How is that possible? This book. So, Srimad Bhagavatam. And what does Bhagavatam say? The process of devotional service. That is the main message. So, the sincere practice of devotional service and taking shelter of the sound vibration in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and Chaitanya Charitamrita, these glorious literatures, that will equip one's consciousness with the real maturity to see situations in this life in proper perspective. Otherwise, one will be thoroughly bewildered, confused, and misunderstand the situations in this life, right? So, regularly by being in touch with the sound vibration will help one see things in a more mature outlook. Otherwise, there is a lot of confusion. The dust of attachment to material world and the dust of becoming very perturbed when there are some trying and provoking situations will just happen, right? So that's why in the beginning of Bhagavatam only Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya is mentioned. So one has to regularly take shelter of the sound vibration. Regularly. It's not once in a while. And also it depends on one's holding capacity. So some people may hear a principle or some verse of Bhagavatam or some chapter of Bhagavatam, and they are so inspired by what they have heard and they can act upon what they have heard for the rest of their life. They are so inspired like that. But some people, they will hear, they are so inspired, and for next 1 week or 10 days they act on it, and after that slowly that will fade away, right? So, and some people may hear and within 1 hour they may forget also. Within half an hour they may forget also. So it all depends on one's attentiveness in hearing and also one's ability to absorb and assimilate what he is taking in. So that's why Bhagavatam recommends Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So if you are already a relisher of this Bhagavatam, then we will continue to relish, right, by hearing the Bhagavatam. But if you are not a relisher, at least you will get into the habit of hearing on a regular basis, and one day you will be able to relish. This is the medicine also, and after cure it is the nectar also, right? Initially it is medicine also. You can take although it is, mind is saying that I can't hear, I can't sit in the class, I can't study, still one will, as a regulative principle, one will try to be in touch with the sound vibration on a regular basis. Then the real taste buds will develop. Jaundice. When there is jaundice, one has to take sugar cane juice. So that ends up that one of the results of such regular practice of devotional service is this, to be able to perceive the miseries in this world as mercy of Krishna. So devotee becomes more and more beautiful by tolerating difficult conditions. Just like mountain tolerates all the clouds and rains during the monsoon, similarly devotee tolerates all kinds of circumstances in this world. So that tolerance makes a devotee beautiful. Another beautiful verse. Marga babhuvuhu sandigdhaha trinaischannahya samskrita nabhyasyatmana srutayo dvijaihi kalena chahataha marga babhuvuhu sandigdhaha. This is a very grave verse that Sukadeva Goswami is speaking. During the monsoon, all the pathways, not the tar road, highway, so there is a lot of processed pathway, but the regular eco-friendly pathways maybe. So all the narrow roads and pathways, they are not cleansed and they are covered by grasses on either side of, you see, this is on GEV photo only. So on either side of the pathway, lot of grasses grow, right? And eventually the grasses will cover the path only. You will not realize that there is a path there, right? It's very difficult to make out. So from this one phenomena of monsoon, so acharyas give this brilliant message that when devotees or brahmanas are not studying scriptures, then the path is covered over the passage of time. Just imagine, in one generation, nobody studies scripture. Nobody studies Gita, Bhagavatam, or CC, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or whatever. So the scriptures which actually provide guidelines for the humanity are not studied properly by one generation. So what will happen to the next generation? So the transmission of knowledge from one generation to another generation is stopped because one generation doesn't take seriously the study of scriptures. So it is like a road being completely covered up by grasses and it becomes inaccessible. So you see, even if you can make out that there is some road, right? It is an extension analogy from my side. Just, you can understand that there is some road here, but it is covered by grasses. Earlier there was a road. Now you feel like walking in that path. But in monsoon, when it is covered by grasses, you cannot walk on that path. Because when so many bushes and grasses are covering that path and you are just walking in that path, a crab may come and catch. A snake may come and bite you. Because of that fear, people will not try to access that path, although they recognize that there is a path there. So when devotees of one generation do not study the scriptures properly, then the scriptures almost become inaccessible to the next generation. That is like covering of the path by grasses. Or even if the next generation feels that, okay, let me study, my previous generation has not studied, let me study, still they become fearful of entering their study because of these crabs and snakes, because they don't get the confidence, they don't have an assistance from any elder person to guide them in study. How can they start on their own, right? That's why it is the responsibility of a generation, of a practicing devotee, to take shelter of these scriptural principles. At least a class of people should be doing that, right? So not everybody will be equipped. That's why brahmanas, then kshatriyas, all these are there. But one class of people should be dedicating their time for study of scriptures. Otherwise it becomes inaccessible. Chakravarti Pad gives a beautiful commentary in the first canto, first chapter, first verse. The all the explanations, bona fide explanations and commentaries of Vaishnava Acharyas are like watchmen guarding the treasure. You know, so there is a treasure house, and a watchman is guarding the treasury. So what is the treasure house? Satisfaction of the heart. Yayatma suprasidati. The satisfaction of one's heart is the treasure. And who is the watchman? Who is guarding the treasure? Who is protecting the treasure? The acharyas. The acharyas who give bona fide explanations to these bona fide scriptures. But when those bona fide commentaries of acharyas are not studied, they are not followed, then what will happen? The satisfaction of the heart is not guarded properly. That will be stolen away by miscommentators, wrong commentators. So when bona fide acharyas, bona fide devotees are not studying the bona fide commentaries of acharyas, bona fide explanations of scriptures, some other people will come and give some wrong interpretation to the scriptures. They will misguide people. And if you go in a misdirected path, what will happen? The satisfaction of the heart is lost. People will start deriving satisfaction from so many other nonsensical things than the real substance of dedicating one's efforts in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is the ultimate message of the scriptures, bona fide scriptures, right? So just like pathways or roads in monsoon are covered by grasses, similarly, when scriptures are not studied by Brahmanas, by the passage of time, they become inaccessible to the next generation. That's what Sukadeva Goswami is very gravely highlighting here. So in this context, I also explained what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained in the first canto. So in the orientation classes or the introduction classes to Bhagavatam also, I speak these two things. What Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur told in first canto and what Sukadeva Goswami told in this canto. So what is the importance of scriptural study, right? As much as possible, one should take this seriously. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And one should be in touch with people who are studying the scriptures. One should constantly seek guidance from the principles of scriptures coming through bona fide people who are practicing them, who are studying them, like that, studying and practicing them. So then one can ensure that my path back to Godhead, or I'm traversing on a proper spiritual path, like that. So any concocted principle based on material consciousness cannot give success in spiritual path, right? It has to come from bona fide source, sound vibration. Kasmayena vibhasito yamatulo jnana pradipah pura tadrupena cha naradaya manaye krishnaya tadrupina yogindraya tadatmanata bhagavad rataya karunyataha tad shuddham vimalam vishokam amritam satyam param dhimahi. So this message of Srimad Bhagavatam is coming from Krishna to Brahma, Brahma to Narada, Narada to Vyasa, Vyasadeva to Sukadeva Goswami, Sukadeva Goswami to Suta Goswami, Suta Goswami to Suta Goswami Parikshit Maharaj, to the next generations. Like that, the message of Godhead is being transmitted through this transparent medium of Guru Parampara to all of us. So one should access that. But if there is a break in this transparent via medium, if there is a break, then the next generation will become disconnect with what Krishna wants them to do. And if there is a break, or if there is a wrong interpretation. Why wrong interpretations become more prominent? Because the right interpretations are not studied. That's what he says. Scriptures that Brahmanas no longer study, they are like covered over with passage of time. The road becomes inaccessible. Right? So many grasses are growing. Nobody will make out there is a road here. There was a road here. No. That road will take you back to Godhead. That road will take you to Madan Mohan temple. But that road is blocked. And even if you recognize that there is a road, then I have no confidence to enter that road, because there are crabs, there are snakes. They become fearful of the volume of scriptures. So what does Acharya do? They simplify the study. They simplify the scripture Indian present. What did Vyasadeva do? One Veda he divided into four, and then he wrote some Puranas and other things, and so many other scriptures he compiled, so that a common man can easily understand the scriptures. And he employed so many professors and disciples and grand disciples, and distributed and divided this whole Vedic knowledge into several branches so that humanity can benefit. So that's what Acharya does. Right? And after that he compiled Bhagavatam under the instruction of Narada Muni. Right? And then Bhagavatam is studied and then commented upon by so many other Acharyas. Right? One needs to study that. So this verse, Eeridrishi Bhagavato Gatiratmavada Ekantato Nigamabhi Pratipaditanaha Tushyantvadabhrakaruno Svakritena Nityam Konama Tat Pratikaroti Vinoda Patram. So Tushyanti Adabhrakaruno Svakritena Nityam. They are not expecting anything from the humanity. The Acharyas who have explained the scriptures so thoroughly with bona fide explanations in line with the previous parampara, we cannot repay them. All we have to do is accept what they have given us with grateful heart and then offer dandavats to them. So we cannot repay them. So we just have to accept. Oh, you have given this path. Please let me take it. Swayam samuttirya sudustaram diman bhavaranavam bhiva madabra sauhurdaha bhavat padamboruha navam utrate nidhaya yata yadanugraho bhavan. Right? 10th canto, 2nd chapter. Demigod's prayers. So there also it is mentioned that Krishna out of his great mercy will approve the path recommended by a bona fide Vaishnava Acharya, and by following that path, that explanation given by a bona fide Acharya, other people also will get delivered. Right? So that is the importance given to scriptural study, proper study. Right? And the explanations of Acharyas, the path shown by Acharyas, the Abhideya given by Acharyas. Right? So one needs to access that. If one generation does not follow it at all, then there is a vacancy created. To fill in that small blank will take more generations. It becomes inaccessible. The road becomes inaccessible. Similarly, the path given by Acharyas also can become inaccessible. So one needs to take to this study more seriously. So, which verse? 17th verse.
Lokabandhushu megheshu
vidyutas chala sauhrudah sthairyam na chakruhu kaminyah purusheshu gunishvivam. So, lokabandhushu megheshu. So, the megha or the clouds are compared to lokabandhu, well-wishers of entire humanity. They are friends of all. So vidyutas chala sauhrudaha. So clouds pour rain and give sustenance to many people. Similarly, qualified men, charitable men, they also give a lot of support and charity and a source of sustenance to people in general. So hum, not that verse. Janasya Krishna vimukhasya devat adharmasilasya sudukhitasya anugrahayeha charantinonam bhutani bhavyani janardhanasya. So people in the world have turned their faces away from Krishna. Vimukhasya daivat. Adharmashilasya. They have become so adharmic. Then sudukhitasya. What is the result? If you have turned your face away from God and you have embraced irreligion, what is the result? Sudukhitasya. They are thoroughly in distress. To make all of them sumukhasya, they have become Krishna vimukha, now they have to become Krishna sumukha. They have become adharmasila, they have to become sadho parodharmasila. Parodharmo yato bhaktira dhokshaje. So they have embraced irreligion, they have to embrace parodharma. Right? The real ultimate occupational duty of entire humanity is to perform devotional service to Lord Adhokshaja. So one has to embrace that. So all the devotees are into that, are into inspiring people to follow that path. Right? Adharma shilasya sudukhitasya anugrahayeha charanti nunam bhutani bhavyani janardhanasya. Like that. So qualified men are like that, well-wishing friends of all. Out of their compassionate spirit, they go door from door to door and inspire people to take up to the spiritual path. So, this verse also comes in the 10th canto, when Gargamuni comes to Nanda Maharaj's house. Mahadvicharanam ronam grihinam dina chetasam nishreyasaya bhagavan nanyathe kalpate nanyatha kochit. Right? So there is no other reason for a saintly person to visit anybody's house. It's only to enlighten them in the path of spiritual advancement. So next, we'll take a break. 11:30, we'll take a break for 5-10 minutes. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So we'll start verse number 17. 18. In 17 there is one more lesson also. We discussed about clouds. So clouds are like well-wishing friends of all, and there is lightning. So lightning cannot stay at one place for a long time. It keeps on moving from one cloud to another. Similarly, an unchaste wife also cannot stay with one husband for a long time. Although the husband is very virtuous, still, if the woman is unchaste, she keeps on changing partners. So that is mentioned. That is compared to the flickering lightning, fickle lightning. 18th verse. Dhanur viyati mahendram nirgunam cha guninyabhat vyakte gunavyatikare agunavan purusho yatha. Dhanur viyati mahendram. So this is rainbow. So rainbow is a bow, but there is no string there. You can't throw an arrow. Right? Similarly, Lord is also a living entity, but he is an independent living entity. He is not strung by a string there. He is independent. Just like rainbow, the two ends of rainbow are not connected with a string. They are free. They are free to express themselves in whatever color. Similarly, the Lord is also independent of all material circumstances and conditions like that. So Prabhupada writes, when the Lord appears in the material world, he is not like ordinary people. So Lord appears by his internal potency, which is free from bondage of external potency. What is bondage for the ordinary creature is freedom from the Supreme Lord, freedom for the Supreme Lord. So the Lord is compared to rainbow here, Krishna rainbow. Colors are also more or less matching. 19th verse. Nararajodupaschannaha svadyotsna rajitair ghanaihi aham matya matya bhashitya svabhasa purusho yatha. Okay, I'll speak. So na raja na rarajodupascha channaha. So channaha means what? Covering. It's not revealed clearly. So moon is sometimes covered by clouds. Not sometimes, oftentimes covered by clouds during the monsoon especially. So then it becomes very difficult for any person to see the moon in the sky, especially during monsoon when there are so many clouds. Similarly, living entity is covered by false ego. Here, living entity is compared to moon and false ego is compared to cloud that covers the moon. So Prabhupada elaborately writes about this false ego. When the consciousness is covered by false ego, one will start identifying himself with the material body or misidentifying oneself with the material body. So Gita says, that the energy of soul, which is consciousness, is manifested through a screen of false ego. When it is manifested through a screen of false ego, then it appears dull, material, like that. There is no direct vision of the Lord. So false ego is that thing which connects matter to spirit. The spirit soul suffering in this material world are actually not substantial. So Vidura asks this question to Maitreya in the third canto, seventh chapter. You remember that, right? So he says, why the pure spirit soul is suffering in the material world? How can pure spirit soul be entrapped in a material body? What is this connection? Then Maitreya says, yes, your question is right. So there is no connection. But the connection is established by this misidentification, that is false ego. The soul unnecessarily identifies oneself with matter. That's why there is suffering. Otherwise, there is no suffering. When the identification is gone, although the living entity, the pure spirit soul, is in a material body, he experiences spiritual bliss. He is in connection with Krishna. He gives an example. What is the example? That seeing one's own head cut off. If one's head is cut off, how can he see himself? He cannot see. But it is possible in a dream. So how is one able to see one's head cut off? Only in a dream. So similarly, how can pure spirit soul experience misery? Only because of misidentification. The misery is head being cut off. And experience is seeing. And what is the misidentification there? Dream. So like that, Maitreya Muni very wonderfully explains. So as soon as he wakes up from the dream, there is no such horrible situation for him. Someone is cutting his head like that. So similarly, as soon as someone is reawakened to his original constitutional position as servant of Krishna, then there is no material misery. That's what Bhagavatam does. Tapatrayon Mulanam. When you say Tapatrayon Mulanam, all material miseries are uprooted, means what? Bhagavatam will equip one's consciousness to identify oneself as servant of Krishna. It constantly, repeatedly reminds, you are servant of Krishna, you are servant of Krishna. You are not supposed to be spirit soul. You are not supposed to be suffering in this material existence. You are supposed to be enjoying in the company of Supreme Lord, serving Him, like that. So when someone reads Srimad Bhagavatam in the proper spirit, there is no possibility for him to become proud. Because Bhagavatam, through so many analogies, very graphically presents that you are a pure spirit soul, a very wealthy man, you are living like a beggar on the street. Kshitparito yatha dhina sarameyam graham graham. You remember this verse? Where is it coming from? Fourth canto, Puranjan episode. When Narada Muni is speaking to Prachinavarhi. Kshutparito yatha dina sarameyam graham graham. Just like a dog will go from one door to another door to get some food. And when it goes from door to door, it will not get chapati everywhere. Okay, lelo, pizza lelo, chapati lelo, paneer sabji banaya, kutta kele. How? So like that, nobody will feed the dog like that, right? Generally, street dogs. But dog goes at one place, he may get danda, right? One place somebody may beat him, somebody may chase him, somebody chai chai, like that they will say, right? Similarly, the conditioned soul also is looking for material happiness and going from one body to another body, one planet to another planet, one universe to another universe. Continuously, perpetually transmigrating in this material existence. So when Bhagavatam is graphically presenting our fallen situation like this, which sincere reader of Bhagavatam will become proud? Mereko itna versa tha. Mereko, or I know so many chapters, I know this, I know that, I have become scholar. Like that, nobody can become proud if he really understands the message of Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam emphasizes practice of bhakti yoga. Bhagavatam sets a high standard for the practitioner of Bhakti Yoga, and oftentimes we can't meet that standards. We are humbled. Ahaituki apratihada kidare. Where is Ahaituka Aparidhata? Where am I? Right in the first chapter itself there is bouncer. Second chapter itself there is bouncer. How can there be pride in one study of Bhagavatam? By studying Bhagavatam, one should be thoroughly humbled. So at the end of 2 years, you should become humbled. Right? You should not become proud that I know so many verses. I have memorized 2 Ratnamala volumes. 3 Ratnamala volumes, sorry. Chaitanya Ratnamala also. Right? Like that. So not that way. So living entities are covered by false ego, misidentification. Bhagavatam is explaining like this. Bhagavatam here, what does it say? You are like moon. Siddhartha Prabhu, you are like moon. But you are being covered by the cloud. What is the cloud here? Everyone is covered by cloud. That is this false ego. And when clouds are covered, the clouds are illuminated by moon's rays. Similarly, this false ego is illuminated by the consciousness of the pure soul. Like that. So the property of soul is to be conscious. Consciousness. So ego gets that boost from that consciousness. Right? Otherwise ego, how can it manifest? How can it function? Next. Meghago Meghaga Motsava Hrishtaha. Meghagamotsava Hrishtaha Pratyanandan Shikindinaha Griheshu Tapta Nirvinna Yathachyuta Janagame. So Megha Agama Utsava Hrishtaha. Megha Agama, clouds are coming, clouds are coming. There is Utsav. For what? This peacocks. So peacocks become so jubilant when clouds are coming. Why? When it rains, peacock can dance very wonderfully, very happily. So different living entities take pleasure in different things. Sometime back we discussed how farmers take pleasure when there is a lot of rain. They can do their rice plantation. But city people, how they get frustrated when there is rain. Right? So like the different people, this material world is designed in such a way that all features of the material world cannot give happiness to everyone. There are different features that give happiness to different categories of people at different times for certain period, right? Not perpetually. So at certain period, if you get that, now you have taken prasad, 1 o'clock, 1:30, you will take prasad. Then 2 o'clock, someone gives you rasmalai. You have filled your belly with some feast or something like that. 2 o'clock, someone gives you 10 rasmalai. And how? You can't appreciate it so much. They said there should be a timing. If you are given the rasmalai at 12:30 only, then you will become more happy, right? Class ends little early and then you will get rasmalai immediately. Then you can appreciate it better, not immediately after the feast. So like that, material world is designed in such a way that you cannot perpetually enjoy anything or everything. Right, you can enjoy only few things for a certain amount of time. So now coming back to our peacock. So peacock enjoys monsoon very happily. Not every bird may enjoy like that. So griheshu tapta nirvinna yatha achyuta janagame. This is a beautiful analogy. Just like someone in householder life becomes so happy to receive devotees at his home, so peacock is happy to receive clouds, to see clouds, or the other way around. So devotees also become very happy to receive other devotees at their houses. Especially householder devotees are happy to receive devotees. Just like Nanda Maharaj becomes so happy to receive Gargamuni at his home. Like that. That is the joy of receiving a devotee. 21st verse. Pitvapaha padapaha padbhir Asannanatma murtayah Prakshamastapasa shranta Yathakamanu sevaya. Actually in 19th purport about false ego, Prabhupada wrote several things. So you can study on your own. Now 21st verse. So Pitvapaha padapaha padbhir. Padapa means what? One who drinks through pada. You drink through mouth, right? So they drink through roots. So in the third canto we have learned there are three types of living beings. One is horizontal nourishment, one is vertical nourishment. In vertical nourishment there are two categories, upward nourishment, downward nourishment. Animals are having horizontal nourishment. Right? They eat through their mouth and then whatever comes out is from the other end. So human being has vertical downward nourishment. He eats through mouth and then it goes down. And trees have upward nourishment. They eat through roots and it goes up. Like that. So pitvapaha padapaha padbhir asan nanatma murtayaha. So before this rainy season arrived, all the trees grew very thin and dry, like body grown thin from austerity. So we do one day austerity, nirjal. So body grows very thin, one may lose weight for 1 kilo or whatever in that one day. So next day morning, they're ready for khichdi with charchari, right? So that is monsoon coming up. But after they drink the newly fallen rainwater through their feet, they become so enlivened and nourished. Their various bodily features blossom. Their leaves become very green and they grow more new leaves, tender leaves, and they just give flowers, fruits like that. All their bodily features are very enlivened and nourished. Similarly, one's body may be grown thin because of austerity during summer, but upon enjoying material objects gained through that austerity, one again exhibits his healthy bodily features. Just like Hiranyakashipu did a lot of austerity. One side of the body is totally rotten, only skeleton is seen, and ants and other insects are just sustaining on that body. So in that situation Brahmaji comes and then he gives some benedictions as per whatever protocols that Hiranyakashipu had set. Then Hiranyakashipu gained a beautiful body. Again he became very healthy, nourished, like that. So 22nd verse. Sarashvashanta rodhashu Nyushur angapi sarasaha Griheshvashanta krityeshu Gramya iva durashaya. So this verse is about cranes. In monsoon you find cranes also. So cranes continue to dwell on the shores of the lakes, although the shores were agitated. So the shores of lakes become agitated because of a lot of flow of water, but still cranes will stay there. Similarly, materialistic people also stay at home despite so many disturbances at home. There is agitation in the lake, but still they are not leaving the lake, cranes. Similarly, there is a lot of unhappiness and distress and agitation and then trouble, difficulty, etc., etc. at home. So they are still materialistic people do not get any inspiration to leave home like that. So that is 22nd verse. Prabhupada writes, attached householder does not go away from spiritual improvement, does not go away for spiritual improvement. He regards such an idea as shocking, uncivilized, because he is completely ignorant of absolute truth and his relationship to that truth. Because of this ignorance of absolute truth, one may not be able to appreciate the process of devotional service. So that is mentioned in the 22nd verse through the example of cranes. 23rd verse. Jalaughair nirabhidyanta Sietavo Varsha Tishvare Pashandinam Asadvadair Vedamarga Hakalau Yatha. The flood waters broke through the irrigation dikes in the agricultural fields. So during the monsoon there is a lot of overflow of water. So there are irrigation, agriculture lands are separated by partitions. So flood waters may even break that also. This is GV image only. So near the temple area, Vrindanvihari, behind Vrindanvihari temple. So similarly, in Kali Yuga, the atheists' false theories break down the boundaries of Vedic injunctions. So something which is against Vedic injunction immediately alarms a person who follows those Vedic principles. But as Kali Yuga progresses, people will start becoming indifferent and insensitive to the fact that people in general are compromising from Vedic standards, right? So it doesn't make much difference to them. So like it could be shaking hands, or it could be embracing, or it could be public expression of one's affection, or whatever it may be. It doesn't make much difference to people. People say, it's common, they'll just go. But in Vedic society, it seemed like, hey, what's happening? My God, what's... Ajamil Kanda was seen as such a horrible scene, uncommon scene. So Sukadeva Goswami himself says, they were embracing in, outside, as if it were proper. That, who is that? That prostitute and then another fellow. So they were Shudra. They were embracing as if it were proper behavior. That is considered very improper, although they were just somewhere in the forest, right? But now in public also, when that happens, nobody feels that it is odd. Nobody thinks that it's something wrong, right? Because flood waters are breaking through the irrigation dikes in monsoon. Similarly, in Kali Yuga, atheistic false theories break the boundaries of Vedic injunctions. This is just one example. There could be hundreds of examples like that. Kali Yuga. Next. Vyamunchan vayubhir nunna bhutebhyaschamritam ghana yathasisho vaspatayah kale kale dvijerita. So clouds impelled by winds released their nectarian water for the benefit of all living beings. So this is compared to the kings who are inspired by brahmanas, give charity and perform sacrifices. So kings perform, so Sukadeva Goswami did not simply say that kings perform this charity and sacrifices. He also said impelled by brahmanas. Just like clouds are impelled by winds, kings are impelled by brahmanas. So the administrative class should always be guided by an intellectual class called brahmanas or devotees. When the guidance is taken by the administrative class, then he can be sure that, okay, what I am implementing in the kingdom is proper. So Prabhupada often writes that in Kali Yuga, the administrators generally are once born people. So the higher classes, especially brahmanas, kshatriyas and vaishyas, they should be like twice born people. Twice born means dvija. So there should be a birth. There is a birth, seminal birth, from one's own parents, mother and father, who give them the body. But that birth is not sufficient. One has to be twice born. One has to take second birth from a guru, a spiritual instruction from a guru. When such a person who is twice born rules the kingdom or performs sacrifices or does any important activity in the society, then that activity has some substance in it, some value in it. If once born people only are taking decisions and administering the kingdom, then what kind of output you may expect? Like that Prabhupada expresses his concern in the first canto purports. So here kings inspired by brahmanas dispense charity and perform sacrifices. See, they are performing sacrifices. He is a king, queen, and brahmanas are guiding him in sacrifices. So Prabhupada writes in that 24th purport, the four sections of human society, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, sutra, are meant to live peacefully in a cooperative mood. This is possible when they are guided by expert Vedic brahmanas who perform sacrifices and distribute wealth equally. Distribution of such wealth is also nectarian. like that. So Prabhupada is emphasizing on cooperative mood between Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. So they should be in sync with each other. If they are not cooperating with each other, the top classes, Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, what inspiration that the other classes like Vaishyas and Shudras will derive? If there is no cooperation or cohesion between Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, they are always, top people are always fighting. What inspiration the ground level people will have? Vaishyas and Shudras. So that is the most important point that Prabhupada highlights in third canto purports. Third canto, Kardama Muni episode. Kardama, Manu goes to Kardama Muni. So Kardama Muni appreciates the glories of a king, like anything. And Manu appreciates the glories of Brahmanas. So like that they glorify each other. In that context, Prabhupada writes elaborate purports about the relationship between Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. So here also he is highlighting the same thing. So there should be cooperation. So everybody should be valued for what he is, for what he is contributing to the society. So one person is not made purely by his own efforts. For the sustenance of a person in the society, several sections of the society will contribute for his material advancement and spiritual advancement both. So consider just a temple. One devotee is being brought up in his devotional service, so he is definitely getting support from his seniors, from his equals, from his juniors also. So when all these people are not supporting a person, one's devotional advancement cannot progress purely based on one's own efforts. Definitely one has to take responsibility, one has to fly on his own plane. All these statements are definitely valid. However, one should be grateful for all the generous contributions that other devotees are making for our spiritual advancement. He's performing devotional service with full sincerity and seriousness will also help me in my progress, in my practice also. I cannot be indifferent to someone else's progress. That should be the attitude of everyone staying at one place. Then one can collectively grow. If one is focused on one's own activities and he becomes indifferent to others' needs and others' spiritual advancement, then time will reveal how much other people will show affection to him. Yathamam Prapadyante principle will work. Right? So one should always try to cooperate with other sections. If that has to happen with Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras in a general society, how much more it should happen within a temple atmosphere where so many resident devotees are practicing. So there should be more cooperation amongst them, and there should be help and support and facilitating for other spiritual advancement that every individual is supposed to do. Right? So it's not my duty, it's not my department, it's not officially allocated to me. Yeah, one may say all that, but there should be a concern. That's not, one cannot just withdraw oneself into one's own shell, being indifferent to the surroundings and the people around. One has to cooperate with others. That involves some sacrifice. Right? I will go at least little bit. In exercise, I started exercise. I was instructed. So when I will start, when you are doing exercise, so you may be able to stretch comfortably like this, but come out of your comfort zone little bit. And then if you can do this much, and then do like this. So that extra stretch that you do will help you like that. Similarly, everyone should take that little extra step to do something beyond which he can ordinarily do in terms of helping others in their spiritual progress. Like that. So that is the cooperation that Prabhupada is emphasizing. So that completes monsoon in Vrindavan. Now there is another small section, autumn in Vrindavan. We will see how much we can cover. Either we can complete this section also a little in a faster pace, or let's go at a normal pace and cover whatever is possible, and remaining we will cover tomorrow. Let's see. I'm not planning anything and I'm not committing anything. I'll just go by the flow. So monsoon ended. Our monsoon did not end. because we are describing the entire season in one day only, not in 4 months. Another good meditation is to meditate on one analogy on one day and try to learn. Good idea, right? 25th verse.
एवं वनं तद्वर्षितम् पक्व खर्जूर जंबुमत् गोगोपालैर्वृतो रन्तुं सबालः प्राविशद्धरिः.
सो वेन वृंदावन फॉरेस्ट हैड दस बिकम रेस्प्लेंडेंट with all this greenery and all, filled with ripe dates, khajura, jambu fruits. So Krishna surrounded by all his cows and cowherd boyfriends, along with Balram, entered that forest to enjoy. So little bit of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan also, in during monsoon, are described now, before giving the description of autumn. So Sukadeva Goswami's format is, he describes Vrindavan. He described Vrindavan till now. Now he will describe briefly Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan in monsoon. Next, he will describe autumn. Then he will describe Krishna's pastimes during autumn. Then Sharad Purnima will come. Then he will describe Krishna's Rasalila. So like that, he is presenting. So cows. 26th verse.
Dhenavo mandagaminya udho bharena bhuyasa yayur bhagavata huta dhritam pritya snutastana.
All the cows are moving slowly with their heavy udders, milk bags. They are fed by newly grown fresh grasses. Govardhan is filled with grasses. Paneya suya vasakandara kandamulaihi. So Govardhan can provide whatever the cows want, whatever the boys want, whatever Krishna wants, whatever Balramji wants. All that it will provide. So, but quickly ran to the Lord as soon as Krishna called them. So out of affection, their udders were becoming wet. So Krishna, he can churn such emotions in the hearts of his devotees in whichever rasa, and the devotees will reciprocate with Krishna's call and with Krishna's presence and with Krishna's glances in that rasa, right, to the maximum possible extent. When Krishna entered the palaces of Dwaraka, all the mothers of Krishna in Dwaraka and stepmothers, they were having milk from their bodies, seeing Krishna. 120-year-old Krishna, not 5-year-old and 2-year-old Krishna. At that time also, that is Vatsalya Rasa. It is purely spiritual. You cannot expect this to happen to any, 150-year-old mother as she sees 120-year-old child. That may not happen here, but it happens in Krishna's case. So now cows are just dripping milk. Then 27th verse.
Vanaukasaha pramudita vanarajir madhuchyutaha jaladhara girer nadat asana dadrishe guha.
So 27th verse describes how Krishna saw these aborigine girls in Vrindavan forest, and also the trees are dripping sweet sap and the mountain waterfalls. Jaladhara girer, then nadad asana dadrishe guhaha. So there is Jaladhara coming from Gira, mountains. So Giri is mountain and Jaladhara is waterfall. And nadat, there is sound, beautiful sound made by these waterfalls. Then asannaha dadrishe guhaha. And nearby he saw caves. Guha is cave. Paniya suya vasakandara kandamulaihame, there is caves also. This Govardhan provides beautiful caves where Krishna can go and sit inside along with his boys when it's raining, so that he doesn't come out and then become wet. Like that, Govardhan provides that also. When it rained, Krishna goes inside the caves. Next, kvachidvanaspati krode guhayam chabhivarshati nirvishya bhagavan reme kandamula phalasanaham. When it rained, the Lord would sometimes enter a cave or the hollow of a tree to play and to eat roots and fruits. Hollow of a tree. You know, there are big trees. When there are big trees, there is some hollow. Inside that, a person also can go and sit. Such huge trees. Several hundreds of years old, maybe. So Krishna will go into that and then be happily playing flute and eating fruits. Next, 29th verse. Dadhyodanam samanitam shilayam shalilantike sambhojaniyair bubhuje gopaihi sankarshananvitah. So Krishna would take his meal of boiled rice and yogurt. Dadhyojanam, dadhyodanam means rice mixed with curd. Sent from home. Mother Yashoda does like that. Sometimes Mother Yashoda also packs rice mixed with milk, added sugar. That is Krishna's lunch. He will eat later. Lunch. When Krishna was leaving from Vrindavan to Mathura, Mother Yashoda packed like that. So Krishna came to Mathura and in the night he ate it. After killing few fellows near that Shivadhanu. There is the Dhanuryaga, right? Kamsa organized. So Krishna went and broke that bow and killed few fellows there, guards, and came back and ate the rice given by Mother Yashoda. He didn't even take bath, because he doesn't need to take bath. After killing, you should take bath, right? He doesn't have to take. Like that. Next, 29th verse describes how Krishna would eat curd rice sent from home in the company of Balramji and other boys who regularly ate with him. They would all sit down to eat on a large stone near the water. 30th verse. Sadvalo parisam vishya charvato melite kshanan triptan vrishan vatsaratan vatsataran gascha sadho bharasrama pravrut shriyam chatam vikshyam sarvakala sukhavaham bhagavan pujayam chakrem atma shaktyupa brahmitam. Read. Krishna watched the contented bulls Krishna watched the bulls, calves, cows sitting on green grass, gazing with closed eyes. And cows tired, burdened by heavy milk bags. So Krishna offered respect to that season, seeing its beauty and opulence, which was expanded from his own internal potency. So whatever you see in Vrindavan is a manifestation of Krishna's internal potency. His own energy. So nothing is ordinary or material in Vrindavan. So everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure. It is including seasons. Everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure. So lush beauty of rainy season in Vrindavan is meant to enhance Krishna's pleasure pastimes. To set the scene for Lord's loving affairs, his internal potency makes all arrangements described in this chapter. So during monsoon, everything appears lush, green and heavenly around, and it's a very pleasant vision to see. But you can't go out to experience it, because if you go out, you'll become wet, is it not? But immediately after monsoon, everything remains green for a while and winter slowly starts entering and everything remains very green and pleasant like this without rain. So whatever you are seeing in monsoon will be there after monsoon also, immediately after monsoon also, but without rain. That is Sharad Purnima. So the atmosphere of Vrindavan is preparing for Krishna's pleasure pastimes. So the pleasure pastimes of Krishna with the gopis are also manifested by his internal potency. And the atmosphere created in Vrindavan, which is monsoon and autumn and Sharad Ritu, all this is also manifested by Krishna's internal potency. Everything is Krishna's internal potency. And all the gopis are Krishna's internal potency. So Krishna is playing with them. So who is that person who can question Krishna for dancing with so many gopis in this atmosphere? He is not stealing anyone's property. So if you enjoy something else, someone else's property, then you are a thief. But everything is manifested by Krishna. It's all his property. The land of Vrindavan, the season in Vrindavan, the gopis of Vrindavan, and everything is his property. He's enjoying his own property. Why people are becoming envious of him, jealous of him, and then questioning that why, how can he dance with someone else's wives, like that. 32nd verse.
Evam nivasitostasmin Ramakeshava yorvraje Sharat sambhavad vyabhara Sharat samabhavad vyabhara Svachambhu aparushala Aparushanila.
When Ram and Lord Keshava and Krishna and Balaram were thus dwelling in Vrindavan, fall season arrived. When sky is cloudless, water cleared, and winds gentle. So these features are described from 33rd verse. So we'll kind of skip the sloka recitation and then focus on the analogies to save some time. So in autumn season, regenerated lotus flowers restored various bodies of water to their original purity. So in monsoon, things become very muddy. Water reservoirs become muddy. Although they are filled with water, there's a lot of mud there. They appear brown. They don't look very transparent. But in autumn, all the mud settles down. With the very slight drizzling once in a while, right? And that is considered to be purifying the water reservoirs. Pravishtha karnarandhrena svanam bhavasaroruham Dhunodhi shamalam krishna salilasya yatha sharat. In Sharad Ritu, in autumn season, there is little rain, there is little drizzling here and there, but that does not make the waters muddy, but it will make the waters very transparent and clear, like that. So regenerated lotus flowers. So restore various bodies of water to their original purity. So original purity. And lotuses also start manifesting. This is our lotus only, GV. Now you see in front of Gurukul there is an extra classroom disconnected from the building. So earlier in those days, 5-6 years back, there was a big pond there, lotus pond. So this is one of the flowers there. So regenerated lotuses restored water bodies with their original purity. Similarly, bhakti purifies the minds of fallen yogis when they return to it. Sometimes one may practice bhakti for a while, but they may not be able to practice the process, or sometimes they may get distracted or sidetracked, and after, you know, just taking some slaps from Maya, they may come back again. So then they will again feel very happy, right? So that is the comparison. Next, 34th verse. Sky cleared of clouds, freed the animals, cleansed the earth, and purified the water of all contamination. So now, so far during monsoon, the sky is overcast with dense, dark blue clouds. But when monsoon goes away, autumn comes in slowly, then sky is little clear, right? Water is purified, earth is clean. So similarly, devotional service also frees the four spiritual orders from all kinds of troubles. So that includes Brahmacharis. So sky returns to its natural bluish color, clouds will vanish, rain clouds, dark clouds will vanish. So that is like vanishing the troublesome duties of brahmachari life. Like that, lot of austerity may be involved in brahmachari life. So it's compared like that, sky restoring to its original natural thing. Then in monsoon, animals cluster together in cluster together. In autumn, they go to their respective places. So when, now you see, in monsoon, not many cows will stay outside. They'll just come into the goshala and then they come closer to each other. This is our goshala only, image. So similarly, householders being free from harassment of family duties and give up, giving more time to spiritual practices. So when cows are coming together in monsoon, and when monsoon ends, they may just kind of disperse and then go to their respective places. Similarly, householders coming together to perform some typical trivial duties, that is compared to being in monsoon. But this cows going to different places is compared to the grihasthas sparing more time for spiritual practices rather than their trivial household duties. Next, this is like isolated. Next, a muddy layer of layer on the earth is formed during monsoon, and that is removed. Similarly, that is compared to the removal of inconveniences of vanaprastha life. And the muddy waters of the water reservoirs is purified. So this is our 1 crore liter pond. So there is a purification of water. Similarly, there is a sanctification of sannyasa life by preaching without sex desire. So this is the purification that is experienced by the 4 spiritual orders and compared to various features of autumn. Now 35th verse explains that clouds, having given up all that they have possessed, shone forth with purified effulgence. When the water is there, clouds appear very dark, blackish. Now this cloud is not holding any water. It's very much shining, whitish. Similarly, peaceful sages, when they give up all material desires, then they shine effulgently like this white cloud. So what makes one look very ugly is holding material desires and egoistic conceptions in one's heart. Why children appear so beautiful, so cute? They may not have fair complexion, they may not have properly formed limbs, they may be immature in their speaking or behaving or whatever it may be. A child often attracts some kind of affection in the hearts of onlookers. Right? A person will be attracted to the activities of a child. Why? Because there is innocence there. And there is no lust there. Lust will be there, but it's not manifested yet. So that absence of lust makes them attractive. Similarly, a sage or a practitioner of any devotional path appears beautiful to the extent he is devoid of selfish desires, any malicious intentions, anarthas and all this. To the extent one is innocent, simple, pure and honest, to that extent he is attractive, to the extent he is peaceful, right? He appears very much shining and brilliant like this white cloud. So to the extent one has material desires and anarthas and malice within the heart, to that extent he will appear very morose and very casual. People try to avoid. So that kind of thing will happen. It will appear like a dark monsoon cloud. So restrict these analogies to deriving this lesson. Like Krishna's body is like dark monsoon cloud. How can you compare like that? So that's not the point. This analogy is used to give certain message. Don't try to extend things in such a way. Then mountains sometimes released their pure water and sometimes did not. In monsoon, there is a lot of rainfall and you will often see waterfalls. But in autumn, there is not much waterfall. There is an intermittent waterfall. Similarly, preachers also, sometimes they give knowledge, and sometimes they don't. Why a preacher preaches sometimes and doesn't preach sometimes? It all depends on specific circumstances. If the circumstances are favorable, the preacher will open up. If the audience are favorable, the speaker will open up. Right? Depending on the circumstances around, then the words will come out. Right? The preaching will come out. Prabhupada writes that in India, the circumstances were not very favorable. So we went to the West and preached. In Bengal, circumstances were not very favorable for Lord Chaitanya. So he went to South India and preached. So it is not wrong on the part of a preacher to go to a place where he can find favorable circumstances where people can accept the process of Krishna consciousness. He need not unnecessarily invest so much of his valuable time and energy at one place only. When the circumstances become more favorable, he may come back. Something like that. Right? So that is compared to this monsoon. Autumn waterfalls. So fish did not understand the diminishing of water. Another grave analogy. So sometimes in the previous thing you can see, sometimes we may get a doubt why he is behaving like this, why he is not behaving like this. Especially some senior Vaishnavas, we may not be able to understand what's there in their mind. They may not be able to reveal also because of lack of time, or because we may not be able to understand it. But one should give a benefit out of that. Okay, there is a specific circumstance in which he is dealing in this way. So I may not be able to understand it, but let me accept it. So like that one needs to see, because preacher has his own way. Next, in the next verse, 38th verse, one analogy about fish is given. So in monsoon, the water bodies are swelling with water. So much of water is there. But during autumn, when the rain starts going down and then it becomes zero, no more rains for the next 8 months, then water level will just come down. But the fish, foolish fish, do not understand. Right? In Yamuna, we maintain that water level of 4 feet always. But that may not be the case with all water bodies, natural water bodies. Right? So in monsoon, they will come up. After monsoon ends, they will just go down. But fish do not understand, foolish fish. So what will happen? Because of sunlight, all the water is getting evaporated day by day. And the fish is not getting enough water to... The height of the water is just coming down. Similarly, foolish, materialistic people also cannot understand that their lifetime is diminishing. That's what Dhritarashtra could not understand. That's what Jadabharat's father, you know, one Brahmana from Angira's family, in his context also this is mentioned, that he could not understand that na vedam agatam antakam. Even Ajamil's episode, Ajamil also it's mentioned. They are wasting their valuable time in some very petty, trivial, household, materialistic affairs, not knowing that one day I have to die. Am I ready for this examination? So they are not, they are unable to see it. So that is compared to fish, the mentality of a fish by which it is unable to realize that the level of the water is going down because there is no more supply of rain. So one may think that I will get continuous support from someone. So and so person is helping me in my practice, so and so person is helping me in my service, I will continue to get this help. Right? So it may not be possible. Sometimes we have to figure out things on our own also. One may not get spoon feeding every now and then. So one should also be intelligent enough to make plans and then try to equip oneself with the necessary paraphernalia to practice devotional service in a reasonable way, like that. So the fish suffered the heat of summer, heat of autumn sun. Because of ignorance, it is not blissful. So miseries, because of miseries in family life, one is absorbed in this miseries. Such miserly people are absorbed in family life and they continuously undergo miseries because of uncontrolled senses. Right. So fish is attached to that water, he is unable to take an action. So there is one story that we heard in our childhood. There is Samaya Spurti. There are three fish in a lake. One is Samaya Spurti, one is Prapta Kalagna, third is Mandamati. You heard this story? You heard this story, Bengal. So Samaya Spurti is one who is proactive. And Prapta Kalagna means one does the needful only when the right time comes. Only when it's last moment he'll take an action. Mandamati means even if the deadline is crossed, he bindas. He doesn't take care of it so much. He doesn't think about it so much and he will destroy himself only because of that procrastination and ignorance. It's like mode of passion, ignorance and goodness. So there were these three fish with these three names, Samaya Spurti, Prapta Kalagna and Mandamati, in a lake. And so one fish came and made an announcement within the water. So like we make announcements in Vidyapit, right? Similarly, in the water also, there is a lake also, there is some society of fish and they also make some announcements sometimes. So they made an announcement that some fishermen came here, that tomorrow they are coming with nets and capture all the fish in this lake. So we'll have to do the needful. We have to protect ourselves. Like that, the announcement was made. Mandamati said, it's not that it is detached, it's indifferent to the situation. Then Samaya Spurti felt, I think I should do something now. So he found out that the current lake is connected with a bigger ocean, bigger river, bigger water reservoir. So through a very thin line. So it somehow managed to go to that corner of the lake and then escape from that lake through that small channel and then go into a river. That's what Samaya Spurti did right on that day. This Prapta Kalagna, when he heard the announcement, he felt that tomorrow, right? Okay, dekhte. Lot of time is there, 24 hours. He was just doing his own activities. Then when the fisherman came, fisherman just threw the net also. So this Prapta Kalagna is on the verge of getting caught up in the net. He was almost in the net. But somehow, last moment, he kind of did some heroism and then just escaped from the net and then somehow managed to reach the end of that small stream that is connecting to the bigger reservoir and then finally managed to escape. Right, but with great endeavor and great anxiety, and then every moment he was experiencing, at any time I will be caught and this fisherman will take me and take a knife and cut me. Sometimes these merciless meat eaters, what they do, they take the fish and then this, in at least South India I have seen, there is wooden flank and on top of it there is a knife that is standing like this, right? So they just do like this, live fish. They just rub the fish against that sharp knife, removing all the external skin, so that it is ready for cooking. So such merciless activities will be done. So he could perceive it and then he would go. Samaya Spurti went like that. But this Prapta Kalagna, he could be in that situation at any moment. Right, he experienced that anxiety continuously and finally somehow managed to escape, although he reached to the verge of death. And Mandamati, because he is so callous to his own protection, he was caught in the net and he was taken by the fish, taken by the fisherman. And somebody must be eating that fish. So like that. How was the story? Simple story we learned in our childhood, second class, third standard, something like that. So same thing is mentioned here. Misers absorbed in family life suffer because of uncontrolled senses. They do not plan for their next life. Right. Next. Land gave up muddy condition and plants grew past their unripe stage. Similarly, the sober sages also give up egoism and possessiveness. That is the comparison. and more. This is 40th verse, correct. Oceans and lakes became silent and their water was still. There is no agitation. When constant rain is coming, so water is constantly agitated, and on top of it, when the constant downpour of rainfall would make the water body just overflow, then what will happen? There is flow of water also. It just goes out of the boundaries. But none of that constant flow is there. So oceans and lakes become silent, their water is still. Similarly, when the sages also, when devotees, they desist from material activities and give up the recitation of ordinary Vedic mantras. That agitation is compared to ordinary Vedic mantras, not purely spiritual Vedic mantras. So Prabhupada writes that when a sage is personally completely freed from personal desire, he vibrates the transcendental glories of Supreme Lord exclusively. So one who is completely devoid of material desires can exclusively dedicate to Krishna's glorification. Someone who has so many other thoughts also, they may take some substandard Vedic mantras that has some little more phalashrutis, and then they will give some material benefits also, like that. To the extent one is freed from material desires, to that extent one can stick to pure glorification of Krishna. That way. Next. When a sage is completely freed from personal desire, he vibrates the transcendental glories of the Lord exclusively, nothing else. 41. Farmers erected strong mud banks to keep the water within the rice fields. Because when the monsoon ends, farmers cannot hope for more rainfall. They need to preserve that water. So by raising the mud banks, whatever water is already there in the field, that can be preserved. So similarly, yogis bring senses under strict control to check their consciousness from flowing out through agitated senses. This agitated senses just carry one's consciousness away from one's heart and one's system, and then they will go. Eyes are agitated by seeing a beautiful form of opposite sex. Consciousness will go there. Ears are attracted to some beautiful, attractive pop music. Ears will go there. Right? And hands are attracted to touch some very soft, soothing objects. Consciousness will go in that direction. Right? And so like that, all these senses are pulling a person in different directions. Fragrance, tongue. So like that they are pulling. And consciousness is, these are all outlets for consciousness. So consciousness is going from through the ears and nose and mouth and eyes and skin, like that. So a yogi will restrict that. Just like a farmer raises the mud banks on the four sides of the field so that water can be preserved inside. Similarly, a sage also tries to protect his consciousness and keep it focused on Krishna. So in the fourth canto, a beautiful analogy comes. There is a lake, big lake with nice water, clear, transparent water. If on the bank of the lake, some canes and some grasses are growing, they just keep on growing. When they are growing, when they are not cut out, now, what will happen? These unnecessary grasses suck the water from this lake, and the lake will be emptied and the grasses will flourish. Similarly, if one does not take care of one's material desires and sensual agitations, then they will suck away one's consciousness. These grasses are compared to material desires, and the lake is compared to one's consciousness. So the material desires of unnecessary weeds and grasses will completely make the heart vacant of pure consciousness. They will just take away. One has to protect. All that water is supposed to feed these rice plants, not weeds. So he is protecting, farmer is protecting. Next, in autumn, moon is relieved of all creatures of suffering caused by the sun's rays. So during the daytime, the sun will shine brightly in the autumn season, right? So people will get little suffocated and they become sweaty and all. But nights are very pleasant during autumn. So moon will provide his cooling rays and soothing rays and relieve all the people from such suffering. Similarly, wisdom relieves a person of the misery caused by bodily identification. When someone is identifying oneself with this material body, there is misery. So how to come out of it? By developing spiritual wisdom. So Lord Mukunda relieved Vraja Gopis of the distress of separation. So Krishna was waiting for the Sharat time, autumn time. So Krishna starts playing flute. He goes into the forest during the night, Sharat Purnima time. He plays the flute and Gopis are relieved from the separation. So they come out and there is this rasa dance. Then the sky, autumn sky, is very clear and all stars are visible. In monsoon, we saw a similar image in monsoon. In that image, there were no stars. There were these glowworms. So now glowworms are not prominent because stars became prominent. Similarly, when the devotee is cleared of all material desires, his heart also becomes pure. So the clear, starry autumn sky is compared to the pure heart of a devotee. And similarly, the full moon shone in the sky surrounded by stars. So now we have seen stars here. Now there is moon around, along with the stars. Similarly, Krishna shone brilliantly on the earth surrounded by all the Vrishnis. In Vrindavan, the full moon is eternally risen. It is like the full manifestation of the absolute truth, that is Sri Krishna. He is the real moon, Krishna Chandra. So except for the gopis whose hearts had been stolen by Krishna, the people could forget their suffering by embracing the wind. Neither cool nor hot. It's not too cool, it's not too hot. Coming from the flower-filled forest. And animals became fertile and followed by their respective mates for sexual enjoyment. And activities, this is compared to the activities of Lord's service followed by all beneficial results. So then when autumn sun rose, all the lotuses blossomed happily except the night blooming kumut. There is one kind of flower like that. Similarly, when there is a strong ruler, everyone becomes fearless except the thieves. So when sun is rising, not every element of this nature can give pleasure to everybody. Any element cannot give pleasure to everybody. Sun generally gives warmth and happiness to people in general, but owls cannot relish it. Right? Moon generally gives happiness and coolness to everyone, but some category of people they cannot relish. So like that, different people experience things in this world in different ways because it is basically designed to give suffering. So a strong ruler is there. He will give happiness to everybody, but thieves cannot be happy in his rule. So next, traditional festivals and sacrifices for honoring and tasting first grains of new harvest happened in this season. And all the merchants came out and started selling their natural products. And sages would come out, because Chaturmasa is over, right? They would come out and then go to do their spiritual practices or continue their traveling. And kings are happy coming out with their military forces or other Utsava festivals. And Brahmachari students, guess who is this? Maybe, I also don't know. Someone clicked from behind. So Brahmachari students, they kept in by the rain, were at last free to go out and attain their desired objects. Sometimes Vidyapeeth students would say that it's raining, let's have class here only. Right, in the place where we are staying. So sometimes we have classes at Goshala or somewhere else. But they can go out now during autumn. So those who achieve perfection in this life leave the material body and attain their respective forms at proper time. So Gnani merges into spiritual effulgence of Supreme Lord. Yogi goes to higher planets. Devotee goes to Goloka or Vaikuntha. So last few analogies I took you through in a little faster pace. It's like one more minute left. Thank you all very much. Granthraya Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Monsoon in Vrindavan ki jai. Autumn in Vrindavan ki jai.